Good morning. Welcome to Dr. Raj and Jenny Moon Show. I'm your friendly Beverly Hills orthopedic surgeon combined with your lifestyle goddess, Jenny. Jenny.
Hello, here? Dr. Raj. Happy
There's
Monday.
There's that sexy voice. Welcome to spring, I guess, right? We're now officially in spring. And
yes.
I bet you it's beautiful in New York, right?
I'm actually not in New York. I am in Tennessee, where spring is here alive and well. It's a little scary because spring is a month earlier because the planet is 2 degrees hotter, which is, we think it's awesome, but really it's not so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into that conversation, but realistically, this planet is destined to change. Good or bad or ugly.
We're all doomed to fail and die.
No, I think we're going to morph. People will morph to exactly how they morphed before to their environment. And it's going to be survival of the fittest. And that's where you're going to use your... Absolutely. Survival of the fittest right now.
And
isn't it?
Does that bring us to our first topic?
Yeah,
Is Donald Trump the survival of the fittest?
Yes, unfortunately. Okay. We know who's likely going to win this presidential candidacy. I mean, but here's my opinion. We can't
Hillary Clinton, right?
Yeah, you know, I think we're leaning towards Donald. I think there's a Republican push. The numbers speak for itself. And... you know, we can't, at the end of the day, we can't have a president who is okay with racial profiling. I think that is my biggest concern. I do want the Republican Party in charge again, because I think we've been too Democratic for years now, and I think we do need a change, if anything. But we just can't have someone who believes racial profiling is... okay.
So let me understand you. You want a Republican president, but you do not want Donald Trump because he's a racist.
I don't want that component of, I should say, not everyone's perfect like you and me. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm not kidding. But I don't want... you know, you pick and choose qualities. And I think Donald has some great qualities. But certain qualities, certain negative qualities stick out. And the one that sticks out for me that changes my opinion of really need having a leader of the greatest country in this world who is racial profiling really scares me. I mean, it's akin to... Hitler. It's akin to all of these crazy you know, leaders we've had in the past who caused a lot of destruction in their own countries. The question is, we are a much more sophisticated era and time now. How does this play into our country now?
Well, I would argue, I don't know if we're that sophisticated when that many people are okay with Donald Trump being president. As I always said, it's like having Kim Kardashian as vice president. Are you kidding me? We are the last.
I would vote for Kim.
World. Oh my God, you are crazy. So anyway,
a pretty girl.
Just so to give our listeners a little background, you know, CNN.com, if you go search, it's everywhere. You have Trump telling Yahoo News that he would consider requiring Muslim Americans to register with a government database, or worse, mandating that they carry special identification cards that note their faith. The reaction to this idea, fairly or unfairly, by many on social media was to accuse Trump of wanting to mimic laws that, like the Nazis imposed on the Jews, requiring them to wear a gold star of David on their clothes. After Trump confirmed that he would set up a database for Muslim Americans, an NBC reporter asked him point blank, is there a difference between requiring Muslims to register and Jews in Nazi Germany? A clearly annoyed Trump at first refused to respond, but then told the reporter, you tell me, and walked away. So this is really, really scary. I know we joke about Trump, because it's so easy to find so many things to joke about with him. But now, this is, like, scary.
Well, you know, it is scary, but the reality is this may be our future, and we have to accept it.
No, we don't. There's no way I'm accepting Trump as president. Absolutely no way. And the American people are not going to accept it. There are already protests at his
rally. But it is such a popular following that all of these great, great Republican candidates are just falling off. And I don't know what's going on, but, you know, Rubio now, I think what's left is Ted Cruz. It's like,
no,
it's nuts. It's crazy. And you want to know the reality is the Clintons are friends with the Trumps.
Yeah, I'm not saying, listen, I mean, we could go on and on about how Hillary is corrupt and how she's had her hand in many not so great things.
Bill had his hand in is
for that reason.
Too, Bill just had a man problem. That's it.
It's kind of it's you gotta ask yourself which one is the lesser of the greater evil, right? Which one is the lesser greater evil?
You know that who I would have liked? Chris Christie. I thought he was a cool guy. Made good decisions.
Wow. What's wrong with Governor John Tosh? He is the most moderate. He's the one that makes the most sense. He's not plain ugly. He is really, like, I am a Democrat through and through.
Hey, let's get one more Bush in.
For this guy.
What about Jeb Bush?
You're poking the bear now. You're poking the bear.
Oh, my God.
Going back to the topic at hand, which... We don't really talk politics on this show. We are a health and lifestyle show, but Dr. Raj and I feel so strongly about this topic that we wanted to talk about it because it is so important that you, who are out there voting, really think about who are you voting for? Are you voting for the clown, the guy that just makes you laugh and you're entertained by, like a reality show? This is not a reality show. This is the president of our country.
Okay, can I tell you how history will repeat itself? Ronald Reagan, number one, actor turned president. Number two, Arnold Schwarzenegger, governor of California. I mean, unfortunately, it becomes a popularity vote amongst those who are frustrated with where they're at now. And I think it's a psychological being that no one ever ends a presidency and says, wow, that was the greatest term ever. We want him back. It just doesn't happen. Everyone looks for a change.
I know, but this is not the right change. Obviously, I am a fan of Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton for different reasons. Of course, either one of them will be a heck of a lot better than Donald Trump and Ted Cruz because, first of all, their policies are not progressive. We're going backwards, not forwards.
Okay.
In general.
Ted Cruz, too. Yeah, I get that. But I'm going to tell you what the reality is. I'm not fighting on politics right now, who's going to win. There's a high likelihood Mr. D. Trump is going to win. And if this happens, we have to be ready for the new face. Are you? I'm a dual citizen,
yeah,
so maybe I can get someone to marry you in Canada. That'd be easy. But you're getting married as it is, aren't you?
Yeah, okay, whatever. Okay, not to interrupt, but...
Yeah, so what do we do? I mean, I think it's a reality. We're walking into a new era and a new phase, and we just have to be prepared for this. If there's racial profiling with Muslims, there's going to be racial profiling with women, with different cultures, races, so it's not just stuck to that. And we're not, you know, I think it opens up Pandora's box. So I think you should all consider who you vote and the value of voting, especially if his policies are that strong. Agreed?
Yeah, bottom line, don't vote for Trump, period. He's a racist. Okay? Like, hello, we are beyond that.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I think we agree on this one. But wait, stay tuned to our next segment when we talk about transgender surgeries. Should they be covered by insurance? And also, Jani has a major life transition to talk about with respect to her prior marriage and her new marriage coming up, and what position's best for you, sleeping wise. Okay,
Sleeping.
stay tuned.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Good morning. Welcome to the Dr. Raj and Jani Moon Show. I'm your friendly Beverly Hills orthopedic surgeon combined with your lifestyle goddess, guru, spirit, who's moving to Canada now. Right, Jani? Are you moving? Hopefully not. So, we've talked about the Donald Trump issue, and we've talked about our opinions in regards to voting. So be careful of who you vote for. Now, our next topic is in regards to insurance companies. And in general, with respect to insurance companies, transgender surgeries. There are a number of I know, it's crazy. Do you think transgender surgery should be covered by insurances?
I absolutely do, but I also think holistic healthcare should be covered by health insurance. There are so many things that should be covered by health insurance that's not, because as we know, health insurance companies care about one thing, which is
saving money and making money
making
for
money.
Themselves.
Yeah. But this
Here's
transgender topic is really fascinating because, again, an article came out in CNN about, you know, especially with Caitlyn Jenner and all the hype, the positive media around people wanting to transition, they can't afford it.
Here, and here's actually that one article you're citing that. On CNN, the high cost of being transgender. They're talking about a Nicholas Ballot who binds his chest every day. Here's the problem. The problem with why they want this surgery is this Nicholas wants to basically get rid of his breasts. And he has to bind his chest every day. There is severe racism and depression and, you know, suicidal issues about going out into the public every day with and not being the gender you want to be. Now, do I agree in this? Here's the problem, Jani. I think I agree. Insurance companies are horrible. And that's why this field of medicine, I mean, I deal with these crooks all the time, and I'm not happy with them. But extending it to transgender surgeries, I think you're going to open up Pandora's box on what should be covered. So I disagree in terms of jumping on that for the realm of avoiding depression issues on a case-by-case basis.
But what about, here's the thing, estimated surgery to transition from male to female is estimated $140,000, and it's about $124,000 to transition from female to male. This is over $100,000. This is more than what a lot of people make in a freaking year. Why can't health insurance cover the cost of gastric surgery, but not the maintenance, right? Because you still have to, there are other little, you know, facial surgery, you know, getting facial hair removal, your Adam's apple, there are other cosmetic things. at least they could cover the cost of the major surgery, and then the individual could be responsible for the extra stuff too. I mean, ideally, it'd be awesome if they covered everything, but they're not going to.
Okay, princess, I'm going to tell you why.
Okay, don't call me Princess Ken, or I will shove my fist through this phone, Dr. Raj.
Okay, I knew I'd get that response.
Let's not mess up that pretty face of yours.
Okay, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. It all comes on to this. What is elective? So this transitioning of a man to a female or a female to a man is purely an elective surgery. It's not for basic health benefits. It's akin to someone on the street saying to you, I need to be a foot taller because I'm depressed because I'm only 5'5". I mean, that's an elective surgery. At a certain point...
It's not elective. These people believe and feel with every part of their being that they are in the wrong body. And the amount of depression, all kind, you know, that is an illness in my book, just as severe as cancer. People die from depression. They kill themselves.
What about that short little man who can't get any women because he feels like he's way too short, and he lives in a society or a town that all the women are 5'8 and above, and he's depressed?
Being short is not the same. As I would say, there's a whole degree on this paradigm, or a whole degree on a spectrum. Being short is not the same as feeling like you are a man and you are meant to be a woman. Come on. There, you know, it's a little extreme, don't you think?
No. I think the underlying basis is you don't feel good about yourself. Same deal. I mean, I think that's the underlying basis. Therefore, it's considered elective. Ta-da.
And I would argue that if we had a transgender person on the show right now, they would say it's not elective. In fact, they would say this is not elective. This is not an elective surgery.
You know what? I 100% approve of you're allowed to do what you have to do. My opinion in regards to transgenders is if you want to become a man and you feel you need to become a man, if that makes you happier, and vice versa. As long as, you don't hurt anyone, as long as you respect the same levels of privacy everyone else does, and you don't impose it on people, it's perfectly fine. But when it comes to insurance companies, we got two evils. We got number one, and we got the insurance companies who are absolutely trying to save money. But we also have to be reasonable on what their indications are, because then... Second analogy, every lady who feels like her breasts are small is depressed and they need bigger breasts in order to compete and survive in this world. We'll get it done, and will insurance companies cover that? Checkmate number two.
I understand your point, and you're making a valid one, Dr. Raj, but getting bigger breasts is not the same as getting a penis or a vagina, okay? It's not. Me changing my whole sexual... My sex parts, like becoming a man or a woman, is different. It's an extreme. We may have to disagree on this one.
I think bigger breasts are just as important.
Oh my God! Come on, I can't believe you just said that.
Imagine if you.
I'm sorry for Dr. Raj. Really, he is a good man. He really is. Deep down inside, he's got a good heart.
Yeah, I am. I'm a vegetarian who eats meat. So we agree to disagree on this whole topic of insurance coverage. We agree, number one, insurance companies suck. They're horrible. And they're out there to save money. Number two, I think I respect transgenders and I respect their opinions. But I also think insurance companies should not cover this surgery. Of course, you think differently.
I think that they should. Yes, I do.
Okay. So, we agreed on Donald Trump, and our next topic is...
Which is don't vote for him because he's racist.
Yes, and our next topic is something personal with respect to your prior marriage and your new marriage coming up, and also your favorite position afterwards. Stay tuned. We're sleeping.
Hey.
Morning. Welcome to the Dr. Raj and Jenny Moon Show. I'm your friendly Beverly Hills orthopedic surgeon combined with your lifestyle goddess. We're here to save your lives, better your lives, make you better, whatever. Forgot it. Jenny, you around? You there?
No, I'm not here. I've decided to leave the radio show because I am upset that...
Because I called you a princess.
Donald Trump might be president.
Not because I called you a princess.
Yeah, that wasn't okay either, Dr. Raj.
What about being called a babe? Do you like being called babe?
Not necessarily. I like to be called Jenny, my name.
What about doll?
How about, you know, doll this? We are going to talk about the topic that I want to talk about, and that is how life events can lead to divorce. So I read this article on ABC News, and honestly, it definitely brought up feelings for me because I am about to get married this summer, but I've been divorced, and it's been about 10 years. And, you know, I'm going to just confess that it's scary. I am scared to get married again because I do not want to get divorced again. And in this article on ABC News, it basically shares how these certain life events can lead to divorce. And so it says how illness, job changes, childbirth, living apart, trauma, becoming empty nesters, infidelity can all lead to divorce, which makes sense, right? Like Iowa State University found the divorce rate were 6% higher among relationships in which wives had an illness such as cancer, heart disease, or lung disease. I mean, I have stats for each one of these. Anytime there's this major life change or trauma, couples can't deal. And that is similar to what happened to my ex and I. You know, he got into medical school, and we couldn't deal. Like, he was studying all the time. I was in grad school. We grew apart. So, again, that was like job change. And then right. There was infidelity in the marriage. So that was also another life change.
On your side or on his side?
No, on his side.
Okay.
I mean, there was probably infidelity in my mind, but I never, I never took action.
That's the same. That's the same.
So they say in church, thinking about it is as much of a sin as doing it, which I actually
thinking
don't
and agree. Dreaming.
Doing it is way worse than actually just thinking it.
Well, it's also then you grade it too. So what is infidelity? Is infidelity flirting? No. I don't know. Is infidelity smiling at someone? Is infidelity kissing?
Infidelity right now in my book is good old fashioned having sex with someone else that is not your wife or husband. Right?
Okay.
But what I'm curious to know, so I wanna ask you, Dr. Raj, if any of this applies to you or anyone you know. But for me, I'm about to get married again, I have to think about, will my new partner and I be able to handle the major life changes that will happen? Because every single person has these changes in their life.
Yes.
And how will we
and,
be
and
able
you're
to
in the honeymoon phase right now, so it's tough.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Are you still
in the honeymoon phase?
Well, we kind of we had a short honeymoon phase and became an old married couple early on. But yes, we are still on some level on the honeymoon phase because we haven't had a major life event happen. We've been blessed, knock on wood, not to have any of these things happen that I mentioned, like a death or trauma or illness, etc. But how have you fared? Have you had any of these life traumas in your own relationship, Dr. Raj, and have they affected your relationship?
You know what? You have to. It takes work, and absolutely, you're always presented with challenge. Okay, so throughout the course of any relationship, but it takes work. You actually have to assume that you're not in the honeymoon phase forever, and you actually have to put a lot of work into it. And unfortunately, here's one thing that worries me a little bit about your situation,
I'm
is
not
you
talking about
just
my situation. I was asking you about your situation, and you totally ignored my question and made this
No,
about
I
yourself.
didn't.
So
This
you're
is
not being vulnerable right now. I'm calling you to the table. What has happened in your own life that has
I
been
would
considered a life change that you've struggled with your wife with?
100%. So what's been an issue with me in general is anytime there's any huge changes with me. So it could have been when a family member had a stroke. My dad had a
Got it.
stroke. That
Got
induced a lot of stress, and
it.
it's really hard to deal with it because you expect your spouse to respond the exact same way, and not everyone does. Like, it's hard to predict the level of support you want or need when you're not used to getting support. So it's a real hard role to fit into. Children, when you have kids, how do you
But
deal
you have
with
a child. You have a how
yeah
old is daughter?
and she's 7, but just every little escapade that happens that involves her now involves. So anytime there's stress in a relationship, what does a man do normally? And I'm going to tell you exactly what a man does. I will actually turn off, and I'll try and internalize it. Number one, I hide from it, hope it goes away. Number two, I'm the best deflector in the whole world.
So you're in denial and you check out as a man when things get tough. Is that what you're saying?
Let's talk about you, Jane. Yes, exactly. I'm the best deflector. I go in denial, I internalize it, and I deflect. So if you approach me with a topic, say, "L you want to talk about this?" Like, psychologists or social workers really find me nuts and hate dealing with me because I think that I shield myself with a realm of narcissism that is a protective wall, like Donald Trump, similar to him. I can relate to him. I'm kidding. No, I'm not.
Please don't say that.
Actually, in a way, I can.
So,
I see what he's doing because he's doing exactly what I would do on an extreme level. You confront him, he comes out with the most craziest things to deflect an answer. You see that.
right. And if he gets elected, that will cause major stress in relationships, I'm sure. But the question is, how do you have your relationship, your marriage, survive a major life change or trauma? How do you
Okay,
do that?
I will
And so
give you
let's
the
go into
secret,
the
and this goes to your lucky future husband. This is the secret. You're sitting down in my chair right now. I'm the psychologist, okay?
Okay.
First of all, you just take a deep breath. Number one, I would tell your future husband, number one, that major issues will happen and you will disagree. But you really have to communicate. That is the most important component of any relationship. If you don't communicate and express your feelings, there's not going to be any give or take in a relationship. It's simple as that. If I don't know where you stand, how can I give? How can I take? How can I support? It's not going to happen. So
I actually
communication.
really like this advice, Dr. Raj. I totally agree with you. Communication is key. You have to ask for what you need. If you needed more support from your wife, your dad had a stroke, you needed to tell her that. And then here's the piece. The other partner has a choice. Am I committed to this relationship, to my love of you, to help give you what you need, and vice versa? So I think that's the other piece besides the open communication is knowing, are you committed? Are you in or are you out? Because so many people say they're in, but really their actions don't reflect their commitment.
Well, I think that's a sign of severe insecurity of that person. So It's not even a, I don't think they're manipulative. I think they're just super insecure. But I think you'll be fine because I'm going to coach your future husband. I have to meet this guy. He must be super
Oh, great.
special.
He may
I'll
coach
make
you,
sure.
or maybe I'll coach you both.
You know I'm not coachable. So we agreed on this. We agreed on the Donald
That
Trump
you
issue.
can help your relationship when you have life events.
And be careful of who you vote for president. You may set up a whole realm of racial profiling on a lot of different ways. And also, should it, health insurances should not cover transgender surgery. Stay tuned when we talk about sleeping positions and your. Welcome to the Dr. Raj and Jandy Moon Show. I'm your friendly Beverly Hills orthopedic surgeon, combined with your lifestyle goddess. Who wants to be called princess? No, not.
Dr. Raj knows he gets a knuckle sandwich if he calls me princess.
You are too cute to give me a knuckle sandwich.
What? Oh my goodness. But I hope there are no. Well, I hope there are a lot of feminists listening to this show right now.
Too adorable. Adorable. You're too adorable. So we talked about number one, Donald Trump. Be careful of who you vote for, you know, because realistically this may open up a world, Pandora's box and a definition of Pandora's
Don't
box.
vote for him. Don't vote for him. He's a racist and he wants to do racial profiling. Period. You're saying that too nice.
I am, because everyone deserves a chance to make their own decision. And I think now with the knowledge that they have, after listening to our show, maybe we've converted a lot of those people, hopefully. And the
Hopefully.
second thing, we talked about transgender surgeries. As much as I'm a proponent of them, I don't feel that insurance companies should jump into it, because again, it's going to open up the whole world of what should be covered and what shouldn't be covered. And we talked about Janny's favorite sleeping positions. I want to hear about your
No, we
favorite
are about
sleeping
to talk
position.
about that. We also talked about how I think that health insurance companies should cover transgender surgeries, and how when you have a life-changing event in your life, like divorce, childbirth, or illness, you have to work really, really hard, really hard, to have open conversation and with your spouse so you don't end up divorced. And now we are going to talk about the best sleeping position for you. How do you sleep, Dr. Raj?
Well, I will tell you how I'm a side sleeper, but here's the problem. I have shoulder pain, both shoulders, just from heavy lifting weights, which I did this morning. I also have a neck issue, degenerative neck issue. So when I sleep on my side, my arms go numb. My right arm goes numb when I sleep on my right side. When I sleep on my left side, my left arm goes numb. So end of the day, I gotta sleep on my back. I treat myself once in a while sleeping on my sides. So that's my answer. And I don't sleep anyway.
Actually,
so.
It's a great answer. According to CNN, this article on what sleeping position is best for you, they have pros and cons for both. But the side sleeping is bad because it can cause you to have breathing problems, or what you said, it can cause parts of your body to go numb. The back sleeping is great, but again, it can also, some people say it can hurt your upper airway, and so you also may have snoring problems. And stomach sleeping can be bad, especially if you have pain in the neck. What they're saying in this article is you should switch it up. But I actually believe, personally, sleeping on your back is the healthiest position.
How do you actually sleep?
I sleep on my back because your spine is straight, no pillow, very low pillow. So again, it's the Shavasana position in yoga. It causes your body to be alignment. If you have a firm mattress, that is the way to go. If you sleep on your side, then your organs and things get crushed, not to mention a lot of freaking wrinkles. So sleep on your back, people. And we have a caller. Who do we have,
yes.
Dr. Raj?
Alex.
Hello.
How are you, Alex?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
And where are you calling from, Alex?
I'm calling from Buffalo, New York.
Okay. And how can we help you today?
I was just listening to your earlier segment about the transgender insurance. And I have to disagree with you, Dr. Raj. I think that it should be part of our insurance plans to allow for gender reassignment surgery. I think every human deserves a right to happiness, and if it's a serious medical problem that they're having and they need that kind of surgery, it should definitely be offered by their insurance companies. I just kind of wanted to hear a little bit more about your reasoning for why you think that they shouldn't have it on their insurance plans. I was a little confused by your earlier arguments.
Okay, so are you yourself, have you gone for that surgery?
I have not. I do have a close personal friend. I have a couple of personal friends, actually, that have gone or are currently going through gender reassignment. I have one friend right now. He's transitioning from female to male, and he just started his hormonal therapy a month or two ago, and he's also in the process of getting top surgery so that he can appear more like a man.
Have they talked or complained about how high the costs are? Have they shared any of that with you?
Oh, my God. That's all he can talk about. He's just, well, you know, first of all, when you talk about transgender issues, you have to, you know, the parents, the family, the friends, how everyone judges you. Not only have they gone through years of mental and emotional turmoil, just trying to be accepted by their loved ones, but then, you know, they have their loved ones abandon them because they don't want, you know, they think it's a disgrace. They don't want to be a part of their lives. So now not only are they suffering these psychological damages that are not part of their insurance, you know, therapy, they don't get that, but now they have to figure out a way alone. And, you know, oftentimes it's in your early 20s or late teens when you discover that this is something that you, or at least when you come out, that this is something you need for yourself. So he has no way of paying for the cost himself, but it's something that he needs to do in order to express his identity and be a part of our culture and be a part of this world. How else is he going to be able to have the confidence in himself to go to school, to get a job, to formulate relationships, anything? So it's a part of somebody's overall well-being about, you know, their self-worth, their mental health, their psychological health, and if all that takes is some surgery.
I love you so much. You are amazing. I
think,
you know,
your points are definitely well taken. My rationale is, here's what's thinking. First of all, insurance companies are evil. Evil, evil, evil. Hate them. And they will deny necessary surgeries. My rationale is, number one, is with respect to transgender surgeries, they're going to look at it as elective. And I get it on the psychological well-being component. So here's what happens. What if the insurance company's implants, okay? I'm just extrapolating. I said, what if someone's short, you know, a leg lengthening surgery? Where do we stop with this? Well, Alex, we just ran out of time. But I respect it. Thank you. So stay tuned to our next show. You've learned a lot about our views on Donald Trump. Don't vote for him. You've learned about Jenny's favorite sleeping positions. And she'll tell you about more positions next time.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.